This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Turn on, tune in, stay in or go out.
This is The Social.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Talking food this afternoon, delighted to be joined in the studio. We've got Ashita Bisaha. She is the author of culinary travel blog, Ashita Unblogged, and co-founder of food and travel website, foodemag.com. And we're talking about those culinary destinations that might not be on your radar. Great to see you, Ashita. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me here, Helen and
Pleasure. We are talking food, so I hope everyone's had their lunch, because I've got a feeling you're going to be getting us pretty hungry between now and half past.
I hope so.
You've been on the show before, but of course, it feels like a long time ago. Summer has been and gone. So let's just get to know you again. So Ashita, tell us a little bit about yourself. How and when did you get into blogging and writing?
I come from advertising, so I was an art director. So I think the creativity part was always there. And when we thought of having our family, I thought advertising and family making doesn't happen together. So I started, I took a break, and my husband got a posting in Germany, and then we came back again in Dubai. And by that time, I think there had been a lot of years that we had been away from home. So it was kind of a rediscovering myself, my roots, mm-hmm. through the food that I had started missing, which, you know, like when you're used to eating some food or you're used to a city that you're growing up in, you actually don't understand the significance of it. And then suddenly years down the lane, you're like, oh my God, I'm craving for this.
What did you miss? What kind of foods were you thinking? I can't wait to get back.
Honestly speaking, it's not the exotic or the signature dishes from my cuisine that I missed. It was all the comfort food that, you know, like the mama's kind of comfort food, and day to day simple things like dal, or, you know, like a small vegetable, a ratatouille, like shukto we call it. These are very, I mean, and as growing up, I never realized that these were the ones which would actually make me this culinary explorer and rediscover my roots through them.
It is interesting, though, isn't it? The food that is cooked for us, or that we grow up learning how to make, do form such a big part of our identity. And that's what becomes our heritage and what we pass to our children
as well.
Absolutely,
everything. I mean, think of all the occasions of celebrations, you know, your birthdays, anything that you can think of, your festivities and everything, Christmas, pujos and everything. Everything revolves around food, actually. And then, you know, when we had two kids, and suddenly you're raising them in a different country, which you're adopting, and that's our adopted home. So Dubai has been my adopted home for the last 20 years. But I did realize that it was only through food that I could give them certain things about my culture and about the roots that...
If you were to ask your children where they're from, what do they say?
Oh, the first thing they'll say, I'm from Dubai, I'm from India. So what about you?
Much the same. They'll say, I'm from Dubai, but mummy and daddy are from England. And then they'll say, Ate lives from the Philippines.
Yeah,
and they talk about, you know, my granny Babs is in England and my granlin is in Scotland. And they're quite into all of that. But they... Yeah. I think it's a really hard thing to try and separate for children, especially
but
little ones.
You don't have to try, really, Helen, because I think this is a wonderful opportunity that our children are getting as they are growing up in Dubai. I think where else would they get such an opportunity where they can, like I'm sitting here from one part of the one continent, you are probably from a different continent,
and we're
chatting
in the middle.
Food and then probably ordering a shawarma.
I think we're so lucky for our children that they are exposed to so many different cuisines from that early age as well. And, you know, if they're bringing in packed lunches, there is food from all over the world in one classroom. Yeah. And then equally, I think about us going out for dinner and going on holiday and them having food that I probably didn't have until I was in my 20s. I don't think I had hummus until I moved to Dubai. I really don't.
No. And definitely, I mean, even for me, even when we traveled, we pretty much traveled with a small tiffin box full of some things that, you know, like we were used to. Even our parents, I don't think they were so open to trying out different cuisines as we are. And Dubai kids, I think that way are very lucky because they travel quite a lot. They go back to their country as well as they go to another country probably. And there is a lot of traveling happening here. So I think that's very fortunate.
We are so lucky here that we've got so many different countries and cuisines within quite an easy reach.
Yeah.
So where have you been over the last year or so that you feel like is worth putting on the map for people who want to travel to eat good food?
I really, really want to talk about these two destinations. One is Malta and one is Poland.
Neither of which I've been to. Yeah. I'm so keen to learn more.
I'm more keen because when I mix with when I talk to my friends, and they're pretty much into the travel, you know, they're hit by the travel bugs. But when you ask them, most people have their bucket list as, you know, the most popular destinations.
So, like I said,
from Dubai, yeah.
So, and even further afield, people want to kind of hit up the big cities, which I 100% understand and, you know, try to do myself. The London, Paris, yeah. Rome, you know, further afield going to New York. But there's closer things on
absolutely.
Our doorstep.
Absolutely. And actually, we are so fortunate because within, like, if you take a Dubai, fly Dubai flights anywhere, I mean, and think that Dubai is the center, you can actually go to a lot of places. Why I want to speak about Malta and Poland is because it was such a revelation for me. Firstly, I think Krakow is 5 hours by flight, and again, Warsaw is another 6 hours. Malta was a 7 hours flight by Emirates Airlines with a 1 hour, including an, you know, like an hour stopover at Larnaca. But when you go there, you're like, oh my God, I mean, this is one of the best Mediterranean destinations Malta was, you know, like.
Can I talk about the food? Let's start with Malta. How would you describe the cuisine?
See, Malta is in the crossroads of different cultures, and there has been a lot of amalgamation. And the most special thing that I think it was unique that, you know, things don't grow there because it's quite a harsh landscape. So imagine a rugged, you know, limestones and the blue Mediterranean, but with no agriculture. In fact, so a lot of things are imported, and it's 90 kilometers off Sicily, so that makes it like a huge influence of Italian cuisine. Then there's French, then Mediterranean, also Arabic. So the thing is, though things don't grow there in Malta, but they have a mixture of the menu is like a mixture of all these cuisines that they're surrounded with. So, and the portion size is very generous, you know.
Like, good, that's what I like.
It's very generous.
What was the best thing you ate in Malta? What kind of? Because I feel like holidays are so, you know, the food is such a big part of it. And we look back at our favorite moment to go, yeah, when we ate that.
A lot of Italian cuisine, like pastas and, you know, pizzas were really great because there's a lot of Italian influence. But I think the national dish that they would recommend us to any Maltese person would ask you to eat is a rabbit stew. So, which I did, you know, like did taste. However, it won't be my favorite kind of meat, but
sometimes you feel like you need to tick off a few dishes from the bucket
list. You absolutely have to visit the local markets, you have to go to small local cafes, you have to try out the, you know, like the pasty, the different bakeries and everything. And even I think that as when you travel and when you come back, it's just not about a relaxing holiday. Then you could have, you know, like booked into any other hotel here in the city that you are staying in, because if you see, good hotels all around the world are very they have their own standards,
and you're somewhere different for a reason.
It's not and also I know the world has become smaller due to, you know, like network and globalization, everything. But we are also losing our unique identity because there is no difference between a Delhi International Airport and a Dubai International Airport with the different branded cafes and, you know, the cafe chains or the food joints that are there. So the only thing that I think one would go and come back, apart from the cultural experience, is also the culinary experience. So.
Inspiration for staying in or going out. We've got you covered.
For now, though, it's all about food, as we're joined in the studio by Shita Bisaha. She is the author of culinary travel blogger ShitaAndBlog.com and the co-founder of food and travel website FoodieMag.com. And we're talking about the culinary destinations that might not be on your radar and the importance of including kids when it comes to culinary exploration too. We've already discussed Malta. I'm now really hungry. Poland you went to during the summer. Can you tell us a little bit about Polish cuisine and what you really enjoyed there, Ashita?
Yeah, so my idea of Polish cuisine was only this dumplings, pierogies. But actually when we went there and it was the summers and we visited farms and, you know, like cherry farms, cherry orchards and different trout farms and everything, we realized there is so much more. And that is why I really wanted to talk about Poland, because I think, you know, after it came out of its the walls and everything, even for the Polish people, it is this entire, it's an exploration and a discovery of their Polish food, because before that, I think they were just they would just do with whatever they got. And then this sudden, you
it's
know,
exciting
like
that, now.
Yeah. So, and I met so many entrepreneurs, and they are young entrepreneurs. And what excited me and interested me was, like, for example, there were this organic farms which are like 150 years old, and they still follow their traditional method of agriculture. But the younger generation, they have studied abroad, and they are actually incorporating these modern techniques. And say, for example, they're doing their marketing through Instagram, and you know, very
like
social
real
media
old and
savvy
new coming together.
And there's a lot of pride in them, and they want to they want to pursue it, and that's a very comforting feeling, knowing that a generation who is taking a pride in their own farming and own produce is a good thing for the future of that country. Mm-hmm. So
you travel with your children as well.
Yeah.
And me having a couple of little ones, I'm always really torn between, listen, this is the local cuisine. You need to eat it because that's why we're here. And equally not wanting them to be hungry, quite frankly. How do you balance that when it comes to trying new dishes?
I'll be honest, Helen. It's not all the time that it's, yeah, they're happy to, you know, like explore so much because they have their ideas in their head. So they probably want their burgers and French fries from their popular.
Their favorites. Yeah.
Their favorites. But I'm quite adamant about it because I think that, you know, like, what is the point of traveling if you do not, apart from the cultural exploration, a culinary exploration is a must, because I think this is the only thing, you know, food and the local food, or say cooking in different home kitchens, they're the only form of art that has prevailed from centuries, and which I feel that if we do not pass it on to the next generation, they're going to, you know, like be going away, fade away, and there will be standardized food, which anywhere in the world you can get.
From all of your travels, have there been any dishes that your kids have really, really loved?
They love. Actually, they've it is that initial thing that, oh my God,
I don't want it.
Yeah. But honestly, it's not that. They're really, they're very flexible that way. And probably we didn't even give them a choice that way. So they've grown up quite foodies. So even in Lucknow, when we went and we tried biryani from a very small joint, which is very popular, but you know, you just have one bench where you sit down and eat, they're not the kinds who will say, oh, why are we here? So yeah, but the initial resistance is there. But if you once they know that there is no
if
other
you
option,
break them down.
Yeah. Because even for, I mean, why blame the children? Because I have friends who are of my age who are not always so willing to, you know, like go you know, brave their ways and go into local cuisine.
Ashita, I can't have you in the studio without asking you. I'm asking as many guests as possible for their tips on No Spend September as I try to save a few dirhams this month. Now, and this is just to be clear, this is not about kind of being miserable and denying myself for the month. It's just about making some smarter choices. Are there any places around Dubai that you think are really good for a bargain meal?
Smarter choices in terms of healthy choices?
No,
or
money.
I could just money.
Money, money.
Oh, my favorite, definitely, like even when I have guests around and I take them all to, you know, like the places which, like say Bukhtir, which is not, well, Bukhtir is not really that reasonable, but well, it is definitely one of the options. I love Raju omelette.
Yes.
we go to, you know, like, these are places that you can actually have a lot of meals. Even Alkuz actually has got a lot of these canteens, you know.
Like cafeterias. Those,
yeah, cafeterias and canteens, which are some of the best burgers, believe me.
Thank you. Ashita, you can find out more of her travel and food writing at ashitaandblog.com and foodemag.com. Thank you so much. I'm now definitely, definitely very, very hungry.
Thank you so much, Helen.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.